That's the accepted one?
Good morning. Today's daf in Chagiga is daf Yud. We thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf Bilano Zech and Ishmael Lupin Zoltzman. We're on Testament Beis. We're at the two dots. Avar Regabalo Chag Einu Chag Bachriuso. So the Mishnah tells us that there are certain mistakes which are irreparable. One such example is Chagiga, which is why the Mishnah comes up over here. Kind of makes sense. Which is the example of Chagiga. So by Chagiga, that if you miss the Karman Chagiga, again, the principal day of bringing the Karman Chagiga is day one. So day one of Yontem, that's the Iker Mitzvah. That's the main time that one fulfills the Mitzvah. So if you miss day one, so you have Tashlumim, you can make it up. You can make it up on day two, three, four, all the way to the end of Yontem. On Pesach, that means up to and including day seven. On Sukkot, that means up to and including day eight. Right, Shemina Atzeres is also Yom Tashlumim. Shavuos, we haven't seen it in the Gemara, but as I mentioned, we're going to see it in the Gemara, it's coming up later in the Masechta, Daf Yud Zayin, where Shavuos also, there's 7 days of, 6 days of Tashlumim. Right, and then you want to count the day of Shavuos itself, so it's 7 days altogether. So, but if you didn't bring a Karban over Yantiv, you didn't make it up during the Shiva Yimei Tashlumim, or the Shmoni Yimei Tashlumim, so then what's the story? Story is, that's it, Mitzvah Averis. It's a mitzvah that has passed you by. It's too late. Okay, and certain areas within halacha where it's just simply too late, and it's a mistake, and it's irreparable. So that's one example. The Gemara comments: Avar regel v'lo chag. We're on testament base. Avar regel v'lo chag. Einu chayev b'achri Yosef al zenemar muvas lo yichol litkum bechisar lo yichol lihimanos. Amalei bar hehe lehelal. Conversation between a person by the name of Bar Hehe. Okay, if you haven't heard of his name, so his name sounds a little bit strange, but that's his name. If you take a look at Tosfos over here, third Tosfos on the Amud, so Tosfos says he's a ger, right? Some say. Tosfos says that some are of the explanation that he's a ger, and he gives himself the name Hay. Well, why was he so obsessed with the letter Hay? So Tosfos writes, Vahainu ben Avraham v'Sarah, shini Tosef Hay b'shman. Because when Avraham and Sarah, so when they quote-unquote convert, you know, when they dedicate themselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so they each one of them add a hey to their name. So Avram was his original name, then he adds a hey Avraham. Sarai was her original name, right? Dedicate herself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so then it's Sarah with a hey. So this person says the same thing, right? This gear. So I'm dedicating myself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so he calls himself Ben Hey Hey after the letter Hey. Tosfos points out, you'll find that also by Ben Bagbag. We have another Tana by the name of Ben Bagbag. Again, it's a strange name. So Tosfos says, same story, that he was obsessed with the letter Hey. So, but what he did is he just simply put two letters together that total to Hey. The Beis and the Gimel together make a Hey. So the Ben Bagbag is also somebody who converts, dedicates to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Hey represents that commitment, that dedication to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, hence the name Ben Bagbag. Okay? The Gemara says, Amalei bar Hey le'ilal, Haile imanos le'imalos bi'baile. So the pasuk in Koheles that we quote that we keep quoting again and again, the pasuk is a little bit strange. It says lehimanos. In the context of the pasuk, I don't understand. Look at the pasuk inside. Me'uvas lo yichol litkon. It's bent and you can't straighten it out. Okay. V'chisaron, and it's missing lo yuchal lehima. What should be the word? Should be lehimalos. If something's chaser, what you want to do is you want to try to fill it up. And the point of the pasuk is you can't. Some things you can't fill it up. But meanwhile, the pasuk doesn't say lehima lo, it says lehima nos. That's a problem. His answer is, elazesh she manuhu chavero lidvar mitzvah vehulo nimna imahem. So Barhei says, you know what the pasuk's talking about? Where a group of people come over to you and say, okay, let's do a mitzvah. Okay, we have a mitzvah opportunity. And we want to count you among us. And he says, nah, not interested. So in other words, on top of missing a mitzvah opportunity, also he had friends, chaverim, that thought to count him in the mitzvah. A simple example could be minyan. I mean, there's a simple example where they thought he was going to get counted towards the minyan, and he says, nah, not interested. So that's the pasuk in Kohal. That's what it's referring to. Tanya na me'achad the Gemara quotes a brisa as well that says the same thing. Muvas lo yicholit kon zeh shebitol kriyash masha shachris or kriyash masha arvis. A number of examples of certain things which are just—it's just too late. So, number one, if you miss Kriyashma, okay, every morning there's a mitzvah of Kriyashma. Every evening there's a mitzvah of Kriyashma. One mitzvah, two mitzvahs, Machlokas, Rambam, Ramban. So, but okay, there's a mitzvah of Kriyashma. Oh, Shabbat Tefillah Shacharis or Tefillah Arvis, or let's say you forgot the Tefillah of Shacharis or the Tefillah of Maariv. right? It's interesting, by the way, that what's conspicuously missing from this list. That of course would be mincha. So okay, yeah, anyway, but the point is very straightforward. If you miss one of those, so that's something which is irreparable. Move us lo yuchal itkon, you missed it. Okay, by davening, you know, there is a chance to make it up a little bit, and that's what's called tashlumim. You miss the davening, so you can make it up with tashlumim. But the Gemara in Brachos says, yeah, but that you can only make it up one davening later. Meaning, if I missed davening a week ago, so I can't make it up now. Now it's too late. There is a little window of opportunity to make up davening if you missed the davening. And again, that's only talking about bonus. That's not talking about memezid. But the okay. So, but if you missed davening, you missed davening. You missed Kriyishma. So lo yicholim anozeshim minu chaver l'dvar mitzvah hu lo nimnayim ahem. And the second part of the braisa, which is the reason why we're quoting it, is that the second half of the pasuk in Koheles is describing somebody who was asked to join, to participate in a mitzvah, and lo nimnayim ahem. He's like, no, I don't want to be part of it. Another conversation between Bar Hehe and Hillel. The pasuk says, v'shatan v'yisam ben tzedek l'rasha ben obed elokim la'asher lo avdom. So you're going to be shav, you're going to do tshuva, and you're going to see the difference between a tzedek and a rasha, and between someone who serves the Kadosh Baruch Hu and someone who does not. So, Haynu Tzedek, Haynu Ovid, Elokim, Haynu Rasha, Haynu Asher Lo Avdo. Doesn't the pasuk seem redundant in that we're describing the same two sides twice? Amalei Avdo V'lo Avdo Tavar Tzedikah Gamir Ninu. So, Hillel says to Bar Hehe, no. Both the Avdo and the Lo Avdo is referring to someone who's a tzaddik. Now, the tzaddik who's serving a Kadosh Baruch Hu, that I understand. Who's a tzaddik who's not serving a Kadosh Baruch Hu? That's difficult to understand. Famous Gemara. Gemara says, nope, the difference between the two is somebody learning 100 times versus someone learning 101 times. Someone learning 100 times is an Eino Avdo. He doesn't serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Right? You take today's daf. Today, well, let's count now. The first time we're going over today's daf. You do it again later today, 99 more times. Okay, take a little bit of time, I understand. You do that 99 more times, and that's the Pasuk of Malachi of Eino Avdo. You're not serving Kadosh Baruch Hu. But then you do it 101 times, oh, Oved. Now you're serving a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And the Gemara says, Amalei Mishim Chazimna Karilei Lo Avdo? Really? And because you did 100 and you didn't do 101, now you're an Eino Avdo, you're not serving Kadosh Baruch Hu, Amalei In? So yeah, so Hillel says that's correct. Right. Look, I'm going to give a modern example, but go to FedEx, right? And I understand. The Gemara is talking about the donkey driver. But you go to FedEx. So you're going to send a package to one location, so the price is this. You're going to send to a slightly further location, okay, the price jumps up. Well, I understand. It's just one more parcel. What's the big deal? Okay, there's one more parcel. In other words, there's a standard charge, and then you want to go a further distance, so it's going to cost more. Simply put, you got to draw the line somewhere, right? It's somewhere along the line, you have to say this is worth something and this is worth more. So when it comes to learning, so the line we're going to draw is between 100 and 101. So at 100, okay, that's something. 101, that's something more. Okay, so that's the Gemara says the 101 shows a more special dedication to Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's what's called an Oved. You saw the notes over there? He gives the gematria of Shachach and Zachar. I like that. Who does he quote? I mean, it's important. It's important to quote.
Kliyaker.
He quotes the Kliyaker? Yeah, okay. He quotes the Kliyaker. Very good. Where is it? Where's this Kliyaker? It's in
In Dvarim.
Okay. That's a wide berth, but the Kliyaker says that the gematria of Shachach. Let's see if I can remember this now. The gematria of Shachach is 328. I just did the numbers in my head. The gematria of Zachar is 227. So 328 minus 227. That's 101. So the difference between Shachach and Zachar is 101. Okay, good, very good. So 101 times they'll ensure that we'll remember this gemara. Okay, back to the Gemara. Pasuk in Yeshayahu says that I right? I smelted you. I basically removed all your impurities, but not with silver. Bechartich bechor oni, and I chose you in poverty. Malamish echazik Kadosh Baruch Hu kol midos tovos liten liyisrael. Kadosh Baruch Hu looked over all the midos tovos, good attributes, and v'lamatz alanios. And Kadosh Baruch Hu says, you know what's an unbelievable attribute? Being poor. Okay. There's a value, and our Gemara says not just a value. Gemara says one of the highest values is to be poor, and to live in poverty. Amar Shmuel v'itemer Rav Yosef Hanadar Meinshi. He says people say Yon Yusali Yudai, in an Aramaic expression. It's good for the Jewish people to be poor. Ki barz asim kol asusa chivria. You know what it's like? It's like a red strap for a white horse. I'm going to make the admission. I don't fully understand the analogy. The red strap and the white horse, but the basic point of the Gemara is it's good. It's really good.
The white is like pure.
The white is pure.
The red is the sin.
Yeah. Right. Also, the contrast between the colors. You get to really see the white when you have the red. When you have the red up against it. Okay. Could be. Point being, poverty is a good thing, right? We of course don't see it that way. I mean, look, Baruch Hashem, we live in luxury, so it's hard. Hard for us to see it, but at the same time, when you live in poverty, so you're not going to be distracted. It's easier to remain focused when you don't have all the bells and whistles that surround us. At least that's how I feel. Okay. Rabbi Shimon Manasi Omer Ezu Muvas Lo Yicholitkon Ze'abal Erva V'Holim Imenu Mamzer. Okay. So what's another irreparable mistake? Says the Mishnah. We're going back to the Mishnah. So another example of irreparable mistake is where a person has. Well, right now, we'll call it adultery, although it doesn't have to be adultery. There are other means. There are other types of erva. But right now, a person commits adultery, has a child. The product of that union of that relations is a mamzer. So look, you could say sorry all you want. You can ask a Kadosh Baruch Hu for forgiveness. Right? You could do everything you want, but the mamzer's there, and the mamzer's not going anywhere. And move us l'icholitkon. It's just, again, you made the mistake, and you're just going to live with it for the rest of your life. So holy nila, holy law. Now, what the Gemara says is, I don't understand. There has to be a child from that adulterous affair in order for this to be an irreparable damage. That's not true. Even before there's a child, it's irreparable damage. Person steals something. Okay, you can return the item. So you steal something with more force. Again, you can return that as well. But a person who has relations with a married woman, so that's Eshazish. She's a married woman. Asr labal, she can't go back to her husband. So already the irreparable damage has been done, even without a child. Why does our Mishnah say that it's irreparable damage only when there's a child? That's not true. It's irreparable damage even without a child. So Shimon ben Yochai Omer, Ein Omer, Bikaro Gamal, Bikaro. Now, by the way, we're not going to answer the question right away. Meaning, the question is, why does our Mishnah say Beholid is Mamzer? Right. And meanwhile, damage has been done even before that point in time. What we're going to do is we're going to finish the Braisa, and then after we finish the Braisa, then we'll come back and we'll answer the question. So Rishimaman ben Yochai, the Rashbi says, look, when you bring a carbon, so you're not going to say, hey, could you inspect the camel? We're not going to bring the camels a carbon. Camel's not kosher. Same thing is true with a chazir. We're not going to inspect it. It's not kosher. So, ela bakur tle, ve'ezazeh, ela bakur tle. But rather, what do you investigate? What do you examine? You examine a sheep. Meaning, this is the same point we made back in the Mishnah. Meaning, the me'uvas eshalo yicholitkon is referring to something which was straight, then bent, and you can't straighten it out again. That's what the Pasuk in Kalos is dealing with. And Rashbi is saying exactly that point. What are we describing then? What's the Pasuk in Kohelet describing? It's referring to a Talmid Chacham. He was straight. He was a Talmid Chacham. And then at one point in his life, he decides, no, I'm going off. And by the way, coming up in Chagiga, a few short days from now, we're going to be describing particular Talmid Chachamim who went off the Derech. Well, that's famous Gemara. It's coming up in a short amount of time in our Masechta. But anyway, okay, that's the Rashbi. Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish Omer called Talmid Chacham Shepirish Ben HaTorah Lava Kasav Omer. So any Talmid Chacham who leaves Torah, the Pasuk says regarding him, Kitzipur no dedes min kaneh. It's like a bird straying off from the nest. Kein ish no day demim komal. It's like a person who's moved from his place. Va'omer, another pasuk. Ma'amasu avasechem bi avel ki rachku me alai. They distanced themselves from me. He gave psukim describing a Talmud Chacham who were at one point in time close to Kadosh Baruch Hu and then moved themselves far away from Kadosh Baruch Hu. In the meantime, however, we have a question on our hands. Our Mishnah says that when is it irreparable? Only at the point when you have a child. And the Gemara now asks a very straightforward question. It's irreparable at the point where a married woman has an adulterous affair, where now from that point going forward, she's prohibited to her husband. That's irreparable damage.
She can get remarried.
Huh?
She can get remarried.
She can marry another person, but the damage that's done is irreparable. Correct. And right, life will go on, but the damage is there, and the damage can, and it cannot be undone. So the Gemara says a number of answers. So the Gemara says lo kasha kam b'achos panu yakam b'eshes ish. So one simple answer is that a man has relations with a sister. So there, in terms of it's erva, right? It's arias. Right, a sister is one of the arias in the Torah. So in terms of the act of arayos, so again, it's an issacharis. Nothing to discuss over there. But in terms of it being irreparable, it's not irreparable. Okay, in other words, she can marry, he can marry. It only becomes irreparable when they have a child. Once they have a child out of that union, that child is a mamzer. Okay, when a man has an adulterous affair with a married woman, so then that already is irreparable. That's what the Bryce was describing. The Mishnah was describing a man who has relations with the sister. Another answer. Top of Daf Yod. Another answer the Gemara is, it depends. Man who has relations with a married woman. So if it was consensual, so then it's irreparable. Because then she's going to be forbidden to her husband. She will be forbidden. I mean, she was also going to be forbidden to the baal as well. But she will be forbidden from the husband. That's irreparable. If it's ba'ones, if it was forced, if it was rape, rachman l'tzlan, so she will be mutter to her husband. Another answer, yibay seima, haba ha-ba'ones, v'lokasha kameshis kon, kameshis yisrael. A third answer of the Gemara is, both the Mishnah and the Bryce could be describing rape. When does it become irreparable? When she's an Ashes Kohen. She's an Ashes Kohen, Rahman al-Aslan, it's a tragedy that if an Ashes Kohen was raped, she's also to her husband. If an Ashes Yisrael is raped, she's not also to her husband. So that would be another distinction between the Mishnah and the Braisa. Uli Yotze Ulaba Ein Shalom, finishing up this discussion, top of Daf Yud, the Pasuk Gemara quotes the Pasuk in Zechariah. So the one who comes, the one who goes, Ein Shalom, there's no peace. What is that we're describing? I'm Rav Kemish Yotze Adam, Midvar Allah, Midvar Mikra, Shuvain Lo Shalom. You go, in other words, you have a Seder in Halacha, you're learning Halacha, and then you go learn Chumash and Mikra, Ein Lo Shalom, there's no peace for such an individual. Look at Rashi. Couple of unbelievable Rashis coming up. Look at Rashi over here. So, number one, the Gemara now speaks poorly of somebody who is learning Halacha, and then goes back to learning Chumash. So look at Rashi. Yotze Adam Midvar Halacha Midvar Mikra Shavein Lo Shalom Shein Hora Midvar Mikra Shamishta Mefaresh Et Stimas HaTorah. Because you're not going to learn Halacha from Torah. You say, well, you're only going to learn Halacha from Halacha. Meaning, Halacha over here means the Mishnah, the Gemara, the Torah Shabbat Peh that's connected to the Torah Shabbat. So if you're already, in other words, obviously you have to build your foundation. Obviously you have to learn Chumash. I know nowadays it's not that obvious. But okay, but that's social commentary. I'll leave that, you know, I'll let that go. But but obviously you start with your basis. But once you have the Chumash down, so then you learn Halacha. If you're learning Halacha and you're going back to Chumash, the Gemara says, you're missing the point. I mean, the point is Halacha. Okay, so that's number one. Number two, Shmuel Amar Zaparish Mitamal Mishnah. Shmuel says you're learning Talmud and you go back to learning Mishnah. Okay, in other words, so you're right now, again, you have your basis. You have your Chumash, you have your Mishnayos, and you're learning Gemara, and then you go back to learning Mishnah. You're moving backwards, and that's no good. And again, let's take a look at Rashi together. I'm going to read Rashi. Talmud LaMishnah, you're going from Talmud back to Mishnah. Im Shamash Ezechachamim, Shem Adaktikin Litain Tam Mishnayos Ahavin, Ha Mishnayos Asosor Zezeh, O Limso Tam Lifter Olechova, Leisel Leheter, Shah Mishnah Zukari Talmud. Rashi is so consistent when he describes Talmud. Talmud means understanding Mishnayos. meaning we colloquially refer to Talmud as that which we learn every day. But the idea of Talmud is understanding Mishnayos. Some Mishnayos contradict one another. Well, what's happening? Okay, so that's Talmud. Talmud is, that's what we do when we learn Gemara. The Gemara takes us to Mishnayos, puts them side by side, says, I don't understand, and then Miyashiv. I mean, we just saw that. I mean, just about 5 minutes ago. Right, one Mishnah says it's irreparable when he has relations with an Erva. Another Mishnah says it's not irreparable until they have a child. Well, how do you understand those two? Okay, good. So the Gemara explains how you understand those two side by side. So good. So that's Talmud. So Rashi says that's obviously a higher level of learning. And if that person is engaged in the study of this kind of learning, this Talmud, the Inyasamahem, continuing Rashi, right in the middle, the Inyasamahem and Asan Askoli Gersus and Mishnayos. And then what do? You go backwards. You know what? I'm going to leave the world of Talmud. I'm just going to go back to Mishnah. So then, Ein Lo Shalom Bedavar Hara'ah. At that point in time, you're not living in peace. She'ein Hara'ah Nechona Bedavar Mishnah Shekama Mishnayos She'ein Devrei Mechuvanim. Look, says Rashi, many Mishnayos are not straight. Okay, and they're not clear, they're not straight. V'teirud sam b'nei hashas. And the b'nei hashas, meaning those engaged in the study of Talmud, so they're the ones who clarify. So hach b'mayiskinan, chisur and mechzera, right, a number of examples of where Gemara is making clarifying statements on the Mishnah. Hamani Rebbe, who is the author of this braisa, Plonihi, the Ein Halacha Kamoso. And now with the Gemara you'll know, that Brisa is going like so-and-so. Oh, we don't go like that Brisa. Right? Without Gemara, you don't know any of that. So if you're learning Gemara and you take a step backwards and you learn Mishnah, Gemara says, Ein Lo Shalom. He has no peace. And here we get to the most exciting part of these three statements. Rav Yochanan Omer, back to the Gemara, Afilu Mishas L'Shas. Even if you go from Shas to Shas, so that's Ein Lo Shalom, so he has no peace. Now here, let's take a look at Rashi together. Okay, Rashi says it, and that's clear. Which direction are we talking about? Look at Rashi. Rashi writes, "Afilu mishas l'shas, mishas Yerushalmi l'shas Bavli." If you're learning Shas Yerushalmi, right? There are two Talmuds: Talmud Yerushalmi, Talmud Bavli. Good. We learn Talmud Bavli. We as the Torah community. We've been learning Bavli forever. Okay, that's a bit of a stretch. The Torah was given 3,300 years ago. Okay, but since the two Talmuds were written some 1,500 years ago, so we've been focusing on Bavli. The Rishonim have. Okay, they knew Yerushalmi. They learned Yerushalmi. But in terms of what our main limud is, it's Bavli. Rashi writes over here, if you're learning Yerushalmi, and then you go Bavli, Ein Lo Shalom. You're not going to have peace. Why not? Rashi quotes the Gemara in Sanhedrin. Gemara in Sanhedrin says, I'm reading Rashi. Kedamrinim Sanhedrin memechashkem hoshivani kemese olam. The pasuk says that he's like walking in the dark. It's like the dead of the world. Zu hashashal bavel. That's Talmud Bavli. Talmud Bavli is like walking in the dark. Right? It's not. Sometimes it's not clear. I mean, Baruch Hashem, we experience this every day. Meaning we try, we make an attempt to understand, but it's difficult and it's not clear. It's funny. It's a Gemara Bavli being critical of the Gemara Bavli, but in the respect of it's sometimes not clear. Sometimes you're like in the dark. You don't know what's going on. So if you're learning Yerushalmi, which the Gemara here is describing as Rashi here is describing as being somewhat clearer, and then you go back to Bavli, so that's Ein Lo Shalom. Such an individual doesn't have peace. That is. That's Rashi, and not only is that Rashi, it's Tosfos as well. Tosfos, take a look at the top. Tosfos not good, so Tosfos says the same thing. Shas Yerushalmi, Shas Bavli, the Pirush Rashi, right? He agrees with Rashi's pshat that the Yerushalmi has more clarity. Okay, and it only begs the question, which I kind of know the answer to, but in other words, it's a big question. And so if that's true, so then why do we focus on Talmud Bavli? Why aren't we focusing on Talmud Yerushalmi if Talmud Yerushalmi has more clarity? But I mean that's a big question. The opposite. I right. The
Bavli is more.
Yeah, correct. Correct. But I understand. I understand. Both Rashi and Tosfos, you know. I hear. Right. It's such a big question. Why we do Bavli not Yerushalmi? When you know, look, the Rishonim over here are saying Yerushalmi is clear. You're right, Yerushalmi has more clarity on the issue. But part of the answer is, it's such a large question, there's not one simple answer. But part of the answer is because we're Bali Masara, meaning we have the traditions. And the traditions are that the Bavli was the one who went from Bavel to Europe, to the Anshei Sfar, to the Anshei Ashkenaz, meaning that it's we are, in other words, from the Masara standpoint, we are from the Bavli. So we're going to learn Bavli. So part of the answer, right, the Rambam says, right, the Rambam asks this question. The Rambam says, I'm paraphrasing, I don't have the Rambam in front of me right now, but the Rambam says that the stronger Talmid Chachamim are in Bavel, and not in Eretz Yisrael, not by the Yerushalmi. The Rambam says that in the earlier generations, Rav Yochanan, Reish Lakish, so the stronger Talmid Chachamim were in Eretz Yisrael, but then as the generations went forward, and as you moved to the end of the Tkufa of the Amoraim, so shift of power, shift of brain power, I should say, and Bavel had the higher level Talmid Chacham. That's the Rambam.
We should change cycle. Every cycle changes.
Right. There are cycles of learning Yerushalmi. There are. Yeah. Okay.
Same
thing. I'm not ready, but okay. Anyway, we are in the Mishnah. Okay, so we're on the Mishnah on Yud Amud Aleph. Heter Nedarim Porchim Ba'Avir. Basically, the point the Mishnah is going to make over here is that, did you notice? Certain halachas that we talk about have no reference to it whatsoever in the Torah. Certain halachas have some reference in the Torah, and certain halachas are spelled out. And in those three categories, the Mishnah here now is going to comment on those three categories. So, Heter Nedarim Porchim Ba'Avir. So the idea of Heter Nedarim. Right, Rosh Hashanah is coming up. We're going to be Matir Neder in just a short couple of days. Can you imagine? Okay, let's Heter Nedarim, it's Porchim Va'avir, floats in the air. What does it mean, floats in the air? Meaning that there's no psukim in the Torah that describe Heter Nedarim. Now there is a parsha dedicated to the idea of Nedarim. Good. But the beginning of Parshas Naso, but the beginning of Parshas Matos, but the idea of Neder of being Matir Neder, of just releasing someone from the Neder, not mentioned anywhere. Hafars Nedarim, by the way, that is mentioned in the Torah. Okay, good. We're not talking about Hafaras Nedarim. Hafaras Nedarim is done by the husband or by the father, right? But Heter Nedarim, that's not mentioned in the Torah at all. So that's what the Mishnah describes as being Porech Ba'avir. It's floating in the air. V'ein lahem mamash yismichu. Hilchos Shabbos chagigos v'amehilos harim keharorim atluim b'sa'ara. And the halachas of Shabbos. And that of Chagiga, and by the way, that's why the Mishnah is here in Masechta Chagiga, because of this part. And Chagiga, and Me'ilos, the halachas of Me'ilah. Me'ilah is misappropriation. When you take something from the Beis HaMikdash that did not belong to you, and you make use of the item, that's Me'ilah, and you have to make restitution, and you have to add another 25%, and you have to bring a carbon Me'ilah. So there is a very short reference of it in the Torah, and then it's expanded on by Torah Shavah Peh. The way the Mishnah here describes it is, it's like a mountain suspended by a hair. Okay, the hair over here means that there is a pasuk in the Torah, but then in terms of the halachas, it's expanded upon by Torah Shabbat Peh. That's the mountain. Shehein mikramur v'halachas merubos. Hadinim, avodos, hataros, hatameos, harayos. When it comes to dinim, civic law, basically all parshas mishpatim, avoda, all the halachas of avoda, basically, the first half of Sefer Vayikra, Hataharos, Tumah Tahara, also found in the beginning of Sefer Vayikra, Taharos and Tameos, Arayos, right, central part of Sefer Vayikra, Perik Yudches, Yates, Chof, right, Achrimos Kedoshim, Yeshem Almashi Yismechu, Vehine and Gufei Torah. So they have Almashi Yismechu, they have what to rely on, meaning they have Pesukim in the Torah, and they're Gufei Torah, and they're the body of Torah. Now, that statement in of itself is fine. In the context of the Mishnah, it's really hard to understand. Meaning the last list is Gufei Torah, and everything prior to that is not Gufei Torah. Het and Adarim is Minatorah, just not written in the Torah. Shabbos, of Korshan. Of course Shabbos is min haTorah. Just most of the details are not written in the Torah. So what does the Mishnah mean over here when it says Heinein Gufei Torah? So please wait, and we are going to come back and respond to that question at a later point in time, not today. The Gemara quotes the Brisa of Tanya, Rabbi Lazar Amar Yesh Lama Mashi Yismechu Shenemer Kiafli Kiafli Shtei Pamim Achas Afla Leisav Achas Afla Leheter. And so here's what the Gemara is going to do. The Gemara does this a number of times. Our Mishnah says that when it comes to Heter Nedarim, it's not mentioned whatsoever in the Torah. Okay. What four Tanaim are going to do is they're going to say that it's not mentioned in the Torah, but if you look carefully in the Torah, you read the Torah carefully, you'll see it hinted to in the Torah, this idea of Heter Nedarim. Or I make a Neder, I'm going to go to Talmud Chacham, I'll explain to him, I didn't mean that, or if I understood that, I would never have said it, and he'll be Matir, he will release you from your Neder. So the Gemara says, here it's alluded to. So Rabbi Elazar says that because the Torah in describing Neder says kiafli kiafli and says it twice, so achas hafla le'isav achas hafla le'heter. The word hafla means to pronounce, to articulate, to enunciate. So one is le'isar and the other is le'heter. Okay, an allusion, a remez in the Torah to this idea that sometimes you can make a pronouncement and somebody will be matir and someone will permit it. Rabbi Yeshua Amar Yishlahem Amar Shiyas Mechushanem Rashi Nishbati Bi'api. Pasuk in Tehillim says, we're familiar with the pasuk, we say at Kabbal Shabbos. I made a shvua, Kadosh Baruch Hu saying, I made a shvua Bi'api, and I didn't anger. Which means Bi'api Nishbati V'chazarti Bi. I made an anger, but I was chozer. Okay, good. So Rabbi Yitzchak Amar Yishlahem Amar Shiyas Mechushanem Kol Nediv Libo. Kol Nediv Libo means anyone whose heart donates. It's an allusion, a reference in the Torah to the idea that if you made any type of neder, but your heart wasn't into it, so then you can go to a chacham and he can release you. Chananya ben Achai Rabbi Shua Omer Yesh Lamama Sheyismechu Shemar Shbati Vakayemenu Lishmar Mishpatei Tzidkecha. I made a shvua, I will fulfill it to fulfill Mishpatei Tzidkecha, the judgments of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. take a look at Rashi, three short lines on Rashi, Medekamar Vakaymenu. The Pasuk says, I made a Shvua and I will fulfill my Shvua. Well, of course, what else is it going to do? The fact that it says that, Mechlal Deim Rasu Shalai Kaimu Tamatirlo, makes it sound like there's an option. What's the other option? I'll make a Shvua and I'm not going to fulfill it? Yeah. You go to Tamachachem and they'll be mad to you from your Neder. Okay, so the Mishnah says that when it comes to Ataros Nedarim, it's not mentioned in the Torah whatsoever. The Gemara says, according to Braisa, for Tanayim, find hints, allusions in the Torah to Ataros Nedarim. I'm Rav Yehuda Shmuel. If all this sounds familiar, it should, because we saw a version of this kind of discussion not so long ago, where an Amora comes along and Amora says, look, I found another hint in the Torah, and I think my hint is better than the Tanayim. Okay? I'm Rav Yehuda Shmuel. Yahave Asam Amr Lahu. Didi Adifa Mididchu. Mine's better than the others. The others, of course, being Tanayim. Shenem Lo Yachel Devaro. The Torah says, this is Parshas Matos. Lo Yachel Devaro. When you make a shvua, so you're not allowed to profane it. So who ain't a mochel of alacher mochlem lo? You don't have the right to be mochel. But you go to somebody else, you go to Talmud Chacham, and he's matir, and he finds reason to be matir, so he can be matir. Okay, good. So that's an allusion that was found by Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel. So the Gemara says, Amar Rava Lukul Yisle Pirchol Abami Dishmol. Look, I think I'll go back to the Tanayim, and you realize with the Tanayim, they're dropping hints in the Torah. The Torah is dropping hints, but you can argue with any one of the arguments that was offered. But when it comes to Shmuel, Leislei Pircha, Shmuel's allusion is fantastic. I can't think of a Pircha. Can't not think of a question. Because let's go back to number one, Kiafli. Kiafli means that when you enunciate, when you articulate. So the Gemara says, what is that pasuk coming to teach us? Maybe it's a totally separate point. What's the separate point? When you become a Nazir, you have to articulate, and not only do you have to articulate words, but you have to, at the time when you're saying it, know with full clarity what exactly you're saying. An example. The example that the Gemara over here doesn't give this example, but it's the example that's given all the time. Let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi over here gives this example. Okay, two people are sitting together, right? So here I got the two Bens at the front of the room. So the two Bens are sitting together, and we see a guy coming, and his hair is all over the place, and he looks totally disheveled. And so I say to Ben, okay, look, he looks like he's a homeless person. So Ben says to me, no, what are you talking about? He's a Nazir. So I say, no, Ben, you're wrong. And so we're back and forth, and obviously I feel I'm right, he feels he's right. Okay, good. And so we make the following wager. I say, I know I'm so right. In fact, if I'm right, which I know I am, but obviously I'll come here and we'll ask him. But if I'm right, so I'm going to accept upon myself Naziris. So Ben says to me, no, I think I'm right. And if I'm right, I accept upon myself Naziris. So now when he comes and he tells us which one of us is right, one of us is going to be right. So when he comes and tells us which one's right, okay, so one can make the argument, one of us is going to be a Nazir. Rabbi Yehuda says the name of Rabbi Tarfon, neither of us are going to be a Nazir. What do you mean? Because Kiafli tells us that at the time when you make the Naziros, the Neder, you must fully understand and comprehend exactly what you're saying, and there has to be total clarity on the issue from the time that you're saying it. You cannot make a statement which needs a clarification, will be clarified later, and then, oh, okay, fine, that's a neder. No, that's not a neder. That's Rabbi Yehuda, in the name of Rabbi Tarfon, and that's what we learn out from Kiafli. And not the allusion to Hataras Nedarim. That's number one. Imid Rabbi Yehoshua Dama Achikam Rabbi Nishmati V'Lachadra Nabi. So, and as far as the second allusion, Ki Nishmati B'Api, I made a shvua in my anger. What do you mean? Kadosh Baruch Hu made a shvua, and maybe the shvua stuck. Which, by the way, it did. What was the shvua that Kadosh Baruch Hu made? None of you going into Eretz Yisrael. And?
They didn't go.
Okay, good. And by the way, Tosis makes that point also. That it's a little bit difficult to understand what even the Gemara's Havamina was. When the Gemara says, Akash Baruch made a shvua in his anger. But he's going to release himself from the shvua. He didn't. The Jewish people didn't go. And originally when the Gemara made that point, what was the Gemara thinking? So take a look at Tosos. Third Tosos. We're not going to go through it now. But third Tosos is bothered by that. And as far as the third allusion of Kol Nediv Libo, look, maybe the pasuk over there is coming to make a totally separate point, which is that in order to make a neder, you have to articulate, meaning you may have made a commitment to yourself in your mind. You have total clarity on a given issue, and you're accepting upon yourself, but you didn't say it, it's not a neder. It's not a neder until you say it. And as far as the fourth allusion, maybe the pasuk over there is coming to tell me that I can make a shvua on a mitzvah. Shvua on a mitzvah? Yeah. Meaning, right, sukkah is coming up, I'm going to build a sukkah. I make a shvua that I'm going to build a sukkah. What? That's weird. The Torah already tells me I have to do it. What am I? Is my shvua valid? That's the point. Yes, the shvua is valid. So and the pasuk is telling me, right, that pasuk from Tehillim is telling me that it's acceptable, I can do it. And why would I want to do it? The answer is very simple. Motivation. Right? So sometimes we need to motivate ourselves. And so a shvua, right? People used to be afraid of shvuas. Right? Less so nowadays. But people used to be very afraid of shvuas. And so if a person made a shvua, he's going to do a mitzvah. So it'll help and it'll motivate. Okay. So, Ela d'shmua leislei pircha. So the Gemara says, okay. So, all the psukim that were mentioned by the Tanayim, could be that those psukim are describing other aspects of neder and not about the hataras nedarim. But when it comes to Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Gemara says that's strong. Why is that strong? Because it says, lo yechel devaro. He can't profane his words, but somebody else can. Okay, that's strong. That's an allusion in the Torah to hataras nedarim. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Nachman Yitzchak Hanadarmi and Shitav Acharim Mipopalach Harifta Mimalat Tzana Dekare. Right, remember this back, going back to the Gemara Megillah, that sometimes one sharp pepper is stronger than a basket full of pumpkin and gourd. And in other words, right, you get one spicy pepper in there, wow, you're going to taste it. Oh yeah. So the Gemara says that you have an Amara mixed in a group of Tanayim. Tanayim. And meanwhile, that one Amara, he was sharp. And we're describing Shmuel over here. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Okay, we're towards the bottom of the Amud Hilchos Shabbos. What category was Hilchos Shabbos? It was in the category of small amount of Pesukim and a lot of expansion in Torah Shabbat Peh. So the Mishnah gave an analogy. It's like a mountain suspended by a hair. Okay. So the, and you understand the analogy, I understand. Har Sinai, Torah Shabbat Peh. Okay. Hilchos Shabbos, Michtav Tzivin. So the Gemara says, Shabbos? What do you mean? Shabbos is in the Torah. Isn't Shabbos clear? Clearly in the Torah? So the Gemara says, well, tzricha lechad Rabbi Abba. Da'amar Rabbi Abba, achofer gomar b'Shabbos vein tzarech ala la'afra, pata ala. So the Gemara says, there are many ideas, concepts of Shabbos that are not written in the Torah. And for that, we need Torah Shabbat Peh. And that's the mountain that the Mishnah was describing. For example, says the Gemara, you dig a hole in the ground. That's a malacha. No, but I'm not interested in the hole. I want the dirt. Oh, that's not a malacha. Okay, you can't do it. Sasama derabanan. The Gemara here uses the language of pater, but it's not a malacha. How would we have known that had it not been for Torah Shabbat Peh? That's the mountain that the Mishnah was describing. So the Gemara says, okay, but now that we're in Torah Shabbat Peh, let's remind ourselves, that's a machlokas. Not everyone agrees. Rabbi Shimon says that you're pater. It's malacha shein tzrich legufa. But meanwhile, Rabbi Yehuda says that you're chayev. And here's one of those strange scenarios in halacha where there's a split between the Rambam and everybody else. The Rambam goes like Rabbi Yehuda, that malacha shein tzrich legufa, you're chayev, shitas Rambam. But everybody else, all the other Rishonim and the Shulchan Aruch say that malacha shein tzrich legufa, you are pater. Okay, so but meanwhile, the Gemara here is bothered by the fact that this is a this is not unanimous. So the Gemara says, look, even Rabbi Yehuda will agree that in that particular scenario where you dig a hole in the ground and you want the dirt, you're not going to be chayv. Why? Not because of malach shein tzrich legufa, but because of kilkul, because that's a destructive act. And in order for something to begin malacha on Shabbos, it has to be constructive, not destructive. So Micah Haran Atulim Basara, so Malachas Machsheves Asra Torah, or Malachas Machsheves Lok Siva. So the Gemara says, and where's the mountain? Meaning, why is it described as a mountain? Because all this is rooted in the idea of Malachas Machsheves. Malachas Machsheves, that the Malachas that, in order to violate Shabbos, you have to be intent on what you're doing. So that's an idea which is not actually located in the Torah. It's Malachas Machsheves. It's Lok Siva. It's not written in the Torah. And that's the mountain that the Mishnah was describing. Good. Chagigos, next topic in the Mishnah that the Mishnah says is not... There are a couple of psukim, but all the details, that's the mountain suspended by the hair. So again, the Gemara is bothered. Mechta Ksiva. What do you mean, Chagiga? It's a pasuk. So lo tzricha lechadamar lei rapapala by me. My dahai vechagos maso chag l'Hashem. Zvicha. Gemara says, look, even though there is a pasuk, that pasuk is not clearly talking about carbon chagiga. Could be dilma chogu chaga kama rachmana. Maybe all the Torah is telling us is that when it's yantiv, hey, be happy. Yeah, let's enjoy ourselves. Rashi writes laharbos besimcha. Right, let's really take advantage of the time. Let's be happy. So Elamiata dechsevay chogli ba midbar. So the Gemara says, okay, don't we have another pasuk? Vechogli ba midbar. Now this is not a reference to Yantav, but the idea was that Moshe goes over to Paro. Moshe says to Paro, hey, let's take a break. Right, this is a lot of work. So the Gemara says, hakinami dechogu chagahu. So again, the Gemara says, no, maybe Moshe was telling Paro, we need a vacation for 3 days vacation. But not chagiga in the formal sense. So again, the Gemara says, look, when Moshe asks for the vacation, so he says to Paro, oh, by the way, we need karbanos. Isn't that clear? That the chag he's referring to is a karban chagiga? Again, maybe we can defer. Maybe we could say that, no, it just simply means really enjoy yourself. Right? Have some meat. Enjoy. So the Gemara says no, because no, it says lo yalin, don't leave over chelev chagi, the fats of my chag. Fats, right? Fats of the chag. That's a carbon idea. Tarba lechuga islay. Tarba is the Aramaic word for fat. If we're just talking about, hey, have a big meal, what does fats have to do with anything? Although the fatty meat is good, but that's not the point. The point is that fat is in relation to a carbon. So the Gemara says, well, again, you could deflect and you could say that, look, there are going to be karbanos offered at chag. They may not necessarily be chagiga, but they're going to be karbanos. We have the tamid, shashachar, shabein harbayim. Maybe those fats, right, or I should say all the karbanos mentioned, Parshas Pinchas, but maybe it's those fats that shouldn't be left over. But it's not specifically talking about the karban chagiga. So the Gemara says, well, maybe the carbon that comes at Yontif time, that you can't leave over, but the other carbon you can. So the Gemara says, no, kol alayla boker ksiv. The Gemara says, no, that's impossible. We have a pasuk that tells us that no fats of an animal are to be left over for the next morning. So the Gemara says, well, maybe I need another pasuk to introduce me to the idea that leaving over fats to the next morning is a lav in the Torah. Not just a mitzvah, so I say, to burn the fats that day, but also it's a lav as well. So lav, kasar karachrina, v'lo yalin min abastar shetiz bach be'erev, v'yom harishon laboker. The Gemara says, what do you mean, a lav in the Torah? We have a pasuk, Parshas Re'eh, describing the lav of not leaving over fats the next morning. V'dim a lav or a lav b'shnei lav v'aseh. So the Gemara says, okay, a second lav. Okay, a Rambam writes that whenever you have something with two lavim, the Torah is emphasizing. The Torah is telling us that really, really don't leave it over. Okay, Ela Asya Midbar Midbar Ksiva Achav Yechogul Ibe Midbar Uksiva Asam Azvachim Amincha Gigashim Liba Midbar Malahalam Zvachim Afkan Zvachim. So then the Gemara says, well, maybe it's Gzereshava Umay Karan Atulim Basara. So the Gemara says, okay, if we have a Gzereshava, so then why is it a amount suspended by hair? Gzereshava is powerful, right? That's if it's written. So the Gemara says, not here. Divrei Torah Medivrei Kabbalah Yafin. The Gemara says, not over here. Because look at the Gzereshava, Shava, created from a pasuk in Parshas Re'eh to a pasuk in Amos in Treasar. That's not going to give you a bona fide Gzereshava. Shava. That's not Michtav Ksivan. That's not explicitly written in the Torah. Okay? Finish the discussion today of irreparable damage, examples of irreparable damage. Then the Mishnah Daf Yud, of the three categories of halacha, one where it's parech v'avir, two where it's tluya b'sa'ar, and three where it's explicitly mentioned. Okay, and then what we've been doing now is we've been going over examples of parech v'avir, and so for two of the three examples of tluya b'sa'ar. Tomorrow we have one more example of tluya b'sa'ar, and then we're going to go over the explicitly mentioned halachas in the Torah.